Avi Lipkin is our guest. What a tremendous man. As he said, he makes his, you know, what he does now is he goes to churches and speaks about history, churches and civic events and gatherings to talk about history, the way it is.
And folks, you can find his works on audio tapes, videotapes, CDs, DVDs, and books.
Absolutely. You can go to Vic Mord, VICMORD.com. That's VicMord.com. You can also put this in your browser as well. LipkinTours.com. That's his son's endeavor. Okay. But we need to support Avi Lipkin. We really do. As Christians listening to this in our Judeo-Christian walk, we need to support Avi Lipkin. We really do. We have met Avi Lipkin. He probably does not remember us, but, he's making a difference. He's making a difference in Israel. He's making a difference in America. He's making a difference worldwide. Well, not too many people can say that. I'm sorry, but he's really making a positive difference, and that is a great thing. And of course, I want to say thank you, John Robertson. Thank you so very much for hooking us up together.
Mike Spaulding also.
Mike Spaulding, yes, as well. Thank you so much, Mr. Spaulding. Folks, before we get back to Mr. Lipkin, I had mentioned earlier about ZipRecruiter.com. Let me tell you something. If you're looking for that special person, that one person, or maybe more, if you're hiring, do you know where to post your job to get the best candidate? ZipRecruiter.com is the only place to use. Forget about everything else. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That is the place. Posting your job in one place outside of ZipRecruiter, it's not good enough anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, that very perfect candidate, you need to post your jobs on all the top sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city, in any industry, nationwide. Just post one time and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. And it's that device, it's that interface that makes all the difference in the world. You don't have to juggle emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates. You can rate them and have the right person extremely fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, listeners to the Hagman and Hagman Report, they've set up something very special for us. You can post your jobs for free on ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. You won't be sorry. And that, how great that is to really organize all everything, incoming and incoming job applicants. Now, tonight, Avi Lipkin we have here. It's late in Israel where he's at. Mm-hmm. Or early, perhaps, but he's so gracious.
It's 3 a.m. there now.
Yeah, giving us a gift of his time. And again, we need to support Avi Lipkin, his mission. We need to support him through the purchase of books, DVDs, but just support him because he's making a difference, a positive difference in the world of the Judeo-Christian world. Mr. Lipkin, or Joe, give it to you.
Yeah, we have Mr. Lipkin until the end of this hour, this segment and the next, and we want to get into a number of things that we have not discussed. We talked about ISIS. We talked about Russia. We've talked about a number of things about the Middle East. A couple of questions I wanted to ask you, Mr. Lipkin. One, if we could here go to the U.S. and looking at the current administration and what we have seen them do with the dealings with Iran, what do you make of the Obama administration's buddying up to Iran, taking away the sanctions, giving them, you know, money, and kind of, you know, normalizing relations with a nation that, you know, is basically listed as one of America's top enemies?
Well, that's a very excellent question. I like to talk about it because it's so crazy. My wife, Rachel, we're both 67 years old. My wife, Rachel, just finished working 30 years in the Israeli Kol Israel radio services. Her job is basically intelligence work to monitor the broadcasts of all our neighbors. And she picked up broadcasts, numerous broadcasts, from the Islamic world, especially Saudi Arabia. You have to remember, Saudi Arabia is a country of 17 million Sunnis and 2 million Shiites who are disenfranchised and dispossessed. But anyway, 17 million Sunni Saudis control the world. And according to my, I don't want to say my way of thinking, but according to the proof that my wife has given me, the Saudis selected Obama, who is a Muslim, to be president. Whether or not he was born in Kenya is a moot point. I believe he was born in Kenya, but it's a moot point. He is a Sunni Muslim. He has his orders from Saudi. Also, I'd like to say to people that there's a YouTube produced by a Baptist pastor in Florida, Carl Gallops, and it's a 3-minute YouTube about me and my wife, and information that she picked up proving that Obama is a Saudi plant, and it's, this YouTube is called Saudi Plant, and he has three tasks. Task number one, order number one from the Saudis, is to destroy Iran, Shiite Iran. Secondly, destroy Jewish Israel. Thirdly, destroy Christian America. Now, this sounds so completely outrageous, but who would have believed, 10, 20 years ago, that America would actually have a Muslim president? And the media supports it, the globalist agenda supports it, and everybody's laughing their heads off. Nobody is paying any attention. You have a Muslim president. Okay, so let's talk about how he's going to destroy Iran, how he's going to destroy Israel, according to his plan, and how he's going to destroy America. And I'm going to give it to you in like 30 seconds. This whole agreement with Iran not only gives Iran over $150 billion of released funds, Articles 75 and 76 of the agreement give Iran the hydrogen bomb. Now, there are no peaceful uses for the hydrogen bomb, which is fusion. With fission, with uranium, okay, there are peaceful uses. But fusion, hydrogen bomb, there are no peaceful uses. Why is Obama giving Iran the hydrogen bomb? And that is in order for Iran to nuke Israel. Maybe Saudi Arabia too. Now, if Iran tries to nuke Israel, Israel's going to know about it just in the right nick of time. So then Israel is going to have to destroy Iran. And so what better way is there to destroy Shiite Iran and Jewish Israel than to kill two birds with one stone and set the two countries up in a war situation? Give Iranians the money they need. Give them enough rope to hang themselves. Give Israel $30 billion in armaments over 10 years so that Israel hangs itself. And then you're only left with the third problem, which is to Islamicize America, which the Obama administration and the Clintons and George W. Bush, forgive me for saying it, were all stooges and slaves of the Saudis. And that's how we went from zero Muslims in 1970 to 30 Muslims. In my opinion, there are 30 million Muslims in America. The Jews are not number two anymore. It's not Judeo-Christian America anymore. It's Christian Islam. And which means, isn't it wonderful, one nation under God and Satan? Because you know Allah is Satan. I don't know if you know that.
Sure, yes.
I have a 3-year jail sentence in Switzerland for saying that. We have to call a spade a spade. Allah is Satan. Islam is a criminal psychosis. And Saudi Arabia needs a Muslim president in Washington to destroy Shiite Iran and Jewish Israel.
And Obama was the, and forgive me for revisiting this, because we had talked about this in previous programs. And by the way, folks, we had Carl Gallops on last week. Tremendous. That video is tremendous. I would urge anyone who has not seen that video on YouTube by Pastor Carl Gallops to watch that about Avi Lipkin and his wife. But, okay. Bush was a wolf in Christian clothing, so to speak, a New World Order stooge, allowed us, or kind of paved the way, greased the skids for Obama. Obama really put the finishing touches on the Iranian deals, I guess. So would you, just to be clear, what you're saying is he's setting up both Iran and Israel, and to some extent Saudi Arabia, to take to let them fight it out in just this mass plan of genocide. Is that what you're saying? I mean, so there's this nefarious element here where it looks like we're helping, or he's helping Iran, but in fact he's giving them, as you point out, enough rope to hang themselves, giving them the money and the materials to essentially cause their own destruction through an attack against Israel, who would attack Iran and possibly involve Saudi Arabia. It's kind of just that simple, isn't it?
Yes, it's very simple. The Iranians were prostrate. They were in a horrible economic situation until the deal, which gave them all this money, from the Western powers. The Western economies now are going to make money working with Iran. But strategically, the idea is to give the Iranians the wherewithal to destroy Israel and perhaps Saudi Arabia. And it's one of the reasons why the Saudis and the Israelis have gotten closer. But, I'm very cynical. The Saudis are no friends of Israel. The Saudis will want Israel to go to war against Iran. Now, if you go to a war against Iran, you're going to war against Bashar al-Assad. You're going to war against Hezbollah. Hezbollah has 100,000 rockets ready to be fired at Israel at any moment. Hezbollah in Lebanon is a proxy enemy of Israel. But it's not as dangerous as a hydrogen bomb. But the Saudis want to fight Iran to the last Israeli soldier. I believe, yes, that there is a plan to destroy Shiite Iran. There is a plan to destroy Jewish Israel. And like I said before, you have this massive infiltration of Muslims in America and suppression of Christianity in order to impose an Islamic agenda in America.
Wow. Okay. My goodness. All right. So, and it's amazing that when you had mentioned this before about your wife in the intelligence, receiving intelligence about this future president, that being Obama, this Muslim president, that's just an amazing story. So we now, at this point in time, here we have Obama appearing to be in his last days in office, at least last legitimate days. He's down to less than 2 months in terms of being in power in the Oval Office. Did he accomplish his task, the three tasks? Although Iran and Israel, of course, are not destroyed, and Israel won't be, but did he accomplish sufficiently what he was tasked to do? Did he do a good job?
Well, we're talking about world history. World history is not by snapping your fingers. World history requires, like moving a giant aircraft carrier. An aircraft carrier cannot turn on a dime. Aircraft carrier requires time until everything is in position to change course. America is changing course. And in that sense, Obama has done a marvelous job. There's some people, I go to churches or do radio shows and people attack Obama and say he's stupid. He is the opposite of stupid. Obama is brilliant, and his brilliance makes him all the more dangerous. And like I said before, he has 2 months of lame duck, and after November 8th, and regardless of whoever wins, and of course I pray that Trump wins, but regardless of who wins, Obama can wreak grievous damage on Israel if he wants to, which I think he does. And what I think is going to happen is, the Palestinians are going to rise up in revolt after November 8th in order for Israel to counterattack and to suppress them, at which time the plan of Samantha Powers, who is the American ambassador in the UN, she wrote a position paper 20 years ago for the Clintons, the U.S. military should invade Israel, attack Israel, and force Israel to accept the Palestinian state on the borders of June 1967, which would also lead to the destruction of Israel. So I see here some very, very dark clouds They're just waiting for us after the November 8th. Even if Trump wins, Obama can still do grievous damage. And the American people are not aware at all of these plans.
How naive right. we are, you know.
And scripture and prophecy clearly state that in the end times that all nations will gather together and come against Israel. Now, from what I hear you say and from what I've read, it sounds like Trump, that the Israeli people would prefer Trump to be the president of the United States as opposed to Hillary. At the same time, I can see how a Hillary win would accelerate could accelerate the prophecy of all nations coming against Israel. We see the Obama administration and the United Nations hostility towards Israel and the recognition of their land, of being able to live in their land. And Hillary Clinton, in my opinion, it would be worse than Obama is in the treatment of Israel. She, I believe, is a Muslim. She is surrounded by Muslims. Instrumental in the Arab Spring, instrumental in, you know, propping up these Muslim dictators and movements in order to wipe the areas clean of religions other than extreme Islam. But as you said, I think there's going to be problems either way. It doesn't matter who gets in. I just think it would be much quicker. Problems would be much quicker.
One's the interstate. One's the interstate. One's the side road, I think, or you know, more of a speed control road as opposed to the interstate. Wow. Well, what about, and whom Avi? Well, Avi, Hillary Clinton, and we're looking at this, Joe's been looking at this deeply. Her allegiance is to Sunni Islam, is it not? I mean, or is that just strictly a money allegiance, a power and money allegiance?
I think it's primarily a money allegiance, because the Clintons have gotten so many tens of millions of dollars from the Saudis. The Saudis gave Bill Clinton $20 million for his library in New York City, in Harlem. So it's anybody's guess all these years how much money the Clintons have gotten. Guess what? George W. Bush, I think one of the reasons he never attacks Obama is because his father and his mother, Barbara Bush and George Bush Sr. and Neil Bush, they all work for the Saudi kingdom. They work for Carlyle, Bechtel, Halliburton. The Bush family has received over $17 billion from the Saudis through these corporations. I document this in my third book, Islamic Threat Updates, Almanac Number 1. I'm one of the things that gets me so angry about people like Paul Ryan and George W. Bush and McCain, who have said they're not going to vote for or not going to support Trump, is that these people are all solidly backed by the Saudis. And Trump is an authentic American patriot who doesn't want to be owned by the Saudis or by anyone. And I'm just, I don't want to really talk a lot about it, but the Israeli media is also socialist dominated. People like me have to go to the States and speak in churches because I can't get a job in Israel. At least until my party gets recognized and we run for the elections and hopefully get in 3 years with this Judeo-Christian party in the elections in Israel in 3 years. But the media paints Hillary as the winner and paints Hillary as the good one and paints Trump as crazy. Trump is not crazy. Trump is a very sharp guy. It represents the real America. But the Israeli, not the leadership, not Netanyahu, the Israeli media, which is still leftist controlled, socialist controlled, supports Hillary, and goes against the values that we Jews and Christians believe in. And I wanted to say something very important before we forget it or go on to other subjects, and there's so many subjects we need to cover. This will be a big shock for you, but I think you'll agree with me. Europeans fought each other for 2,000 years, going back to the Romans. Europeans slaughtering each other. 2,000 years, World War II was the worst of it all. And after World War II, we see the beginning of the Benelux and then the common market and then the European Union. And one of the bottom lines was no more war in Europe. You know, white Christian Europeans should not be slaughtering each other. And it worked. It's praise God that the Europeans are crazy. They're killing each other for 2,000 years. So now all of a sudden, you know, the Europe has gotten normal and they're not killing each other. But at what cost? The cost is that the European Union mentality is all these wars of 2,000 years were because of God. God is to blame for all the wars in Europe. God is to blame for nationalism and patriotism. And so God, nationalism, patriotism, religion are all evil. This is the approach of the European Union. This is the approach of the Democrats. And one of the things that's very interesting, and, you know, I've been watching, I'm a Sovietologist, as I said before, is that you have Putin, who was, he was KGB. Obama's right, he was KGB. But Putin's mom was a devout Christian. Putin was basically, grew up with Jewish kids. He ate a lot of his meals in Jewish homes. And so Putin loves the Jews. Putin today is an observant Orthodox Christian. He has turned Russia around. It is no longer a Soviet atheist country. Russia today is a Christian Orthodox country. They might not like Baptist missionaries from the United States. This is indeed a holdover from the Cold War. But the reason the Europeans and the Americans hate Putin so much is because he has created in the Soviet, what was formerly the Soviet Union, a Christian religious state. Don't forget, under communism, it was atheism and no toleration of any religion. At that time, you know, Russia would have fit in perfectly with the European Union and the Democrats today. But today, Russia is going back to its religious and nationalist roots, and this cannot be tolerated. Israel is a Jewish religious nationalist country. Israel cannot be tolerated. Trump is a religious nationalist leader. In other words, he's not a churchgoer, but he represents the nationalists and religious Christians of America, maybe some Jews. And so Trump cannot be tolerated. The one world government, the globalists, all believe in a no God, no religion, and basically no morality system where everybody's a slave. It's communism. It's a form of social democracy is a form of communism. And so this was something I wanted to stress very, very much about Hillary. I don't think Hillary is a Muslim. I think that she is very cynically an opportunist. She wants to make as much money as she can. She's made a lot of money with the Saudis. Huma Abedin, of course, is her alter ego. They work very closely together. It's interesting that, you know, Israel and the Jews have many, many different types of charities, very good institutions like Hadassah, for example. There are many, many Christian women in America and in Europe who are members of Hadassah. And Hillary Clinton is not a member of Hadassah. Hillary Clinton is not a member of any Jewish charity. Hillary Clinton is a member of Sua Arafat's Palestinian Muslim charity. I've been watching Hillary Clinton like a hawk. The woman is a very evil person, very, very much in line with Saudi Islamic ideology, because she knows where her bread is buttered.
Indeed, and we were doing some research here on Hillary and the Clinton Foundation, and of course the money. It's wow. All I can say is, looking at the scale of disaster capitalism. I can't remember the name of the author, but talking about the Clinton Foundation and the corruption there. But you are correct, sir, in my view, in terms of looking at Clinton's the opportunist. And you said social democracy is a form of communism, and that seems to be the push of Hillary Clinton, of course, when it comes to the more communism and Hillary Clinton, communist is good for us, not for her, not for them, not for the globalists. Now we're coming up on the break here. The next segment, I just want Joe and I want you to just go wherever you want to go. Take us wherever you want to take us, because you've got so much important, so many important things to say. But folks, let me just reintroduce our guest, Avi Lipkin, the author of many books. Please visit his website, VicMord. That's VicMord, VicMord.com. And there, order his books, either that or from Amazon. You can get the Kindle editions on Amazon. And of course, your, Avi, your latest book here in the, 45 seconds we have to break here, your latest book, I'm sorry, Islamic Rivalry, ISIS and Iran. That really gets to the heart of the Iranian situation today in America, Iranian situation. Is that right?
Very correct. And it's totally up to date. There is nothing outdated there.
Okay. All right, folks. You stay right where you're at, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to this very special edition of the Hagman Report, Hagman and Hagman Report. Avi Lipkin, our very special guest, Islamic Rivalry. I'm going to be buying that book right after the show. That's one of his books I don't have yet. I don't know why I don't have that, but I'm going to get that right after the show. I would urge you to do that as well. Again, his website, VicMord.com, and also visit LipkinTours.com. Stay right where you're at, folks. We're going to be right back with our final segment with Avi Lipkin.
When you...
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our last segment with our guest for this evening, Mr. Avi Lipkin. Excuse me. Avi Lipkin was with us, if you joined us late, since the beginning of the show. We've been talking about a number of things pertaining to the Middle East and the United States. Headlines that have been dominating geopolitical events all across the world. We've been getting into ISIS, to Russia, Syria, a whole number of things. We have one segment left with you, Mr. Lipkin. A few things I want to, or just one or two things I want to bring up, throw out there, and then I want you to make sure you hit on anything that we didn't talk about tonight. The Christian persecution we see here in the West, that Christianity has been under attack. They continue to remove the Bible from all sectors of society, both public and private. We see the Jesus is basically hate speech, to use the word Jesus. They're taking prayer out of schools. You know, One Nation Under God is under attack. How long, you know, do you, in your mind, at the current pace we see this hatred towards Christianity until it is made illegal here in the United States?
Well, you know, I was born in the U.S. in 1949. I think prayer was taken out of school in America under the Kennedy administration. I think it was 1962. 1973 was Roe versus Wade. I mean, I'm hoping that can be overturned somehow. The Ten Commandments taken out of the courthouse. In God We Trust taken out of the currency. I mean, it's a very clear direction, which did not start with Obama. There is obviously a socialist or socialist democratic liberal approach. I mean, liberal, of course, is in quotes, because it's not liberal at all. I mean, they're liberal with you if you're liberal like they are, but if you're not liberal like they are, they're not going to be very liberal with you. So there has been an attack on Christianity over the last 50 years or more. America is not the great Christian country that it used to be, and I believe there's an agenda against Christianity in America. And there is an agenda in America today. I'm not talking about the Christians, mind you. I'm talking about the small vocal minority in Washington that is seeking to annihilate Christianity everywhere. I mean, I'm a Jew. I know what we went through in our Holocaust. Today, the Christians in the Middle East are going through a Holocaust. And nobody talks about it in the media. Nobody talks about it in, I mean, in Israel, they do talk about it somewhat, but in America, you know, the news is all fluff. I'm forming a Judeo-Christian party to run for office here in Israel. Our population is 8%, Christian. 6% of the population is Jewish married to Christians. So my potential, constituency is 14%. I'm hoping to have this party finally resubmitted. We submitted it already 1-6 months ago, and there were procedural problems. We're overcoming that now. But 14% of the population in Israel in our Israeli political system gives me 14-15 members of Knesset out of 120. And it'll be based on the values that we all cherish, that Jews and Christians cherish in the Bible. Anyway, so I was going into the old city of Jerusalem to meet with some Christian Arab businessmen, and they were very friendly to me personally, but very upset with the United States. And they said to me, why is it, you tell us, why is it that Vladimir Putin is a Christian and he's the savior of the Christians in Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon? And why is it that President Obama, the Muslim president of the United States, is in favor of supporting all these Sunni terrorist groups, supposedly fighting ISIS, which is like, you know, shadow boxing. And why is Obama, why is the American military supporting Sunni groups that are annihilating the Christians and blowing up churches? So there is a lot of anger amongst Christians in the Middle East that see a role reversal, a role change, whereas America used to be the greatest Christian country on earth. Today, America is either a Muslim or a globalist, non-denominational, cultural diversity sewer. And Russia is now having its Russian Orthodox revival. Russia is the true Christian country now. I'm telling you what the Arab Christians are telling me. And, you know, I cannot say today that Putin is an enemy. And if Putin and Trump get along, you know why? Because they're both Christian. And the enemy of the Christian is going to be the globalists and the Muslims together. And so I'm looking very carefully at what could happen. Now, you know, there are people who are in America blaming Trump, saying that if Trump loses, there will be a civil war or a race war. And this will be, you know, spiked, you know, by Obama, maybe martial law. It'll be spiked by the United Nations. I personally am very concerned. You know, sometimes I think to myself, for the last 26 years, I've been half the year in America preaching in churches and half the year in Israel. And, you know, if these things come to pass in America, God forbid, I don't think I can come back to America.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to have to
really
stay in Israel, work on my party, get elected to the Knesset. But, you know, America is changing. This has been a process of many decades against Christianity. And, I mean, can you believe it? Can you believe it that I would come out and say that Putin today as a Christian is the good guy? And Obama today as a Muslim is the bad guy, and America is being led down an evil path by a Muslim president.
You know, I was thinking about that as you were talking, and I can't imagine you being from Flushing, Queens, New York, living your life and then going to Israel and making a statement like that. I mean, did you ever think you'd be, you know, making such a statement, an assessment like that? Probably not.
Listen, I grew up in the Cold War period. I was always fiercely patriotic for the United States. You know, there's a joke. I don't know if you heard the joke before. What's the difference between Jane Fonda and Bill Clinton? And the answer is Jane Fonda did go to Vietnam.
Okay.
But the point I'm saying is I studied Russian. I studied Sovietology. Because you cannot defeat the enemy, Russia or Soviet communism, if you don't learn about them. And so I learned about them. And it turns out Russians are good people. Communism is a horrible system. But Russia is not communist anymore. Russia may have its mafia oligarch type problems. Russia is only now beginning to experiment. Perhaps, I don't know, Putin is a czarist. He's not a communist. He's a totalitarian. I mean, we have a throwback, as Yogi Berra used to say, it's deja vu all over again, going back to the czarist period. I personally believe that I'm very fearful for this, that some oligarch with the backing of the European Union will assassinate Putin. And what do the Russians want, the Russian people? They want to live a better standard of living. That's why the Ukrainians broke away from Russia to join the European Union. But there are a lot of Russians who want to join the European Union. So I don't know how long this episode with Russian Orthodoxy and Putin will continue until somebody new comes to power in Russia, says, guess what, you know, no more Christianity here either. We're going to be part of the one world government. And as you know, all the nations do come down on Israel, which will be a Jewish nationalist religious state forever. And God's in charge of that. And then the question is, will America stop the slide downhill with Trump, or will America go headlong into the abyss with Hillary?
Headlong into the abyss, indeed. Mr. Lipkin, here we've got about 15 minutes or so. Whatever we didn't cover, please, that you want to, please do so. Speak to the people of the world. We've got people all over the world listening. It's late where you're at, early where you're at, whatever the case might be. You are so knowledgeable, so many things, so many items. In case we missed something, glossed over something, don't want to do that. So go ahead and take us where you would like to take us at this point. The platform, the dais is yours. Just going to turn you loose. Go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you. I think the testimony that I call the Edmonton, Canada testimony is extremely important. I'm issuing a final warning to the Jewish people of America that the days of the Jews are coming to an end. The Jews in America, Canada, Europe, some of them are already leaving, in Europe especially, but as Islam pours its millions and millions of people into the West, because of course, you know, the Islamic countries are all cesspools. And so, you don't see Christians and Jews moving to Muslim countries. You see Muslims going to Christian countries. But the bottom line of Islam, and I'm quoting from the Hadith now, is that on the Day of Judgment, there will be a final battle, and Muslims will kill every Jew on the face of the earth. And there will be some Jews who temporarily evade death and pursuers. They will hide behind rocks and trees. And on that day, Allah will give mouths to the rocks and trees, and they will call out, "O Muslim pursuers, there is a Jew here hiding behind me, come and kill him," until every Jew is dead. You know, my wife used to be a TV announcer, a beautiful woman, and I'd always be out of the country preaching, and so she would go and fill up her car with gas at an Israeli gas station run by Palestinians, and they were in love with her because she was a TV announcer in Arabic. Everyone thought she was an Arab, but then when they found out she was Jewish, they said to her, "You know, Rachel, we love you. We have a problem with you. You're a Jew, and you know that Allah is going to give mouths to the rocks and trees, and they're going to call on us to come and kill you. And we don't want to kill you, but we will have to kill you if you don't become a Muslim. So please become a Muslim." Now, Christians, this is very important for Christians. I don't know if you know you want to believe this or not, but this is also in the Hadith, which is part of the Islamic teaching. And the Hadith is more important for Muslims than the Quran itself. The Hadith teaches on the Day of Judgment, Jesus Christ returns a second time as a Muslim, Arabic-speaking warrior, dressed in a ninja outfit on a black horse, and he's going to kill the Antichrist in battle, where today the city of Lod is, where the airport is. He's going to kill the Antichrist, who is a Jew. I don't know if you knew that, that Jesus Christ is a Muslim, Antichrist is a Jew. Then Jesus Christ, the Muslim, goes up to Jerusalem, prays on the Temple Mount with his fellow Muslims. Then he comes down from the Temple Mount, breaks the crosses, destroys the churches of the Christians, destroys the synagogues of the Jews, and on that Day of Judgment, all Jews and Christians will have their throats personally slit by Jesus Christ the Muslim. So when the Muslims say that they believe in Jesus Christ, that's the Jesus Christ they believe in, the Muslim Jesus Christ, who's going to kill every Jew and Christian. This is very important, and this is not being taught in schools in America. It's not being taught over the media, except for programs, courageous programs like yours. And one of the things I picked up in Edmonton, Canada, was that the Canadian law enforcement believes that 90% of the Muslims are peacekeeping, law-abiding people, which could be true. Only 10% are terrorists. Now, in America, I say you have 30 million Muslims, because you have at least 7 million Sunnis, 9 million Shiites, 4 million Nation of Islam. Right there is 20. And we're not talking about Somalis and the Muslims of the Balkans or Russia or India or Indonesia or Africa, Turks, Somalis. I believe there are at least 30,000. They come in by stealth. And if 10% of 30 million are terrorists, it's 3 million. You have 6 million Jews. Regarding gun control and the Second Amendment, the Muslim terrorists will always have guns. So you disarm the good people, you disarm the veterans, the military-trained people, and then you leave the guns in the hands of the Muslims to kill everybody who they don't like, which is Jews and Christians. So I'm predicting that the day is going to come that the Jews will be slaughtered in the streets of America. You have 80% intermarriage with Christians, so the Christian spouses have to be killed too, and the children. And we're going to have a massive, massive immigration to Israel. And my political party will be the biggest political party in the Israeli government, because if we are 6.5 million Jews and Christians today, tomorrow we're not going to be 6 million, we're going to be 16 million, and maybe more. And I believe that the role of ISIS, the role of the wars we're seeing between the Sunnis and Shiites, is basically God's plan to depopulate the Middle East of these Muslims and prepare for Israel's forced expansion. Israel does not want to expand, but Israel's forced expansion into Lebanon, Syria, Iraq up to the Euphrates. We're going to link up with the Kurds, who are our friends. Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and the Egyptian peninsula of Sinai. So Israel is, I mean, this is my faith. You know, you can call it hate speech, but it's my faith. And it says these things in Deuteronomy 11 and in Joshua 1 in the Bible. Every Jew, every Christian who believes in the Bible knows that Israel's borders are going to expand. Israel is going to take in over 10 million people, many of which will be Christian. So I believe our Christian population will grow from 8% to 20 or 30%. And if we believe in democracy, no taxation without representation, then there will be Christians in our government. Israel will undergo a revolution. Instead of being only Jews from Soviet socialist countries and only Jews from Islamic countries, we will now have a third element in our population, which will be Jews and Christians coming in from the West. So this is something that at this point I'm very, very much alone, and people think that I'm crazy. But I'm crazy just as God is crazy. And all of these things are described in the Bible. As for you guys, you know, the Americans, I pray for America to have a Christian revival, because a Christian revival is the only way to prevent America from sliding down into the abyss, into the cesspool of all the things that God hates.
Amen. You know, it's wow. You said it well, my friend. You really did, and want to thank you for it. I know it's very late where you're at. Let's take a few seconds here, if you don't mind, talk about your latest book or your books. I do want to shine the light of shine the light on your books, because I think they're very important. And again, I'm going to be getting my copy of your latest book, but. If you can, just reference your books here before we cut you loose.
Okay, well, firstly, I have CDs and DVDs on my website bookstore. For people who are limited in funds, I have 47 free YouTubes under the name Avi Lipkin. They're all free, 47 YouTubes. There's a lot of teaching out there. And my first book is Fanatic Islam a Global Threat, which deals with the political allies of Islam, the Islamic terrorism, the suppression of the truth by the U.S. government in the 1990s under Bill Clinton's administration, Oklahoma City bombing, the downing of the TWA-800. Of course, Oklahoma City bombing is very important. There are many things in that first book. That's my classic book. I've sold about 100,000 of that first book, also in German. My second book is called Christian Revival for Israel Survival, where indeed I say that the Jews in America are now shrinking in population. The Muslims are growing in population. And so today there are 30 million Muslims and 6 million Jews. So America today is a Christian Muslim country. And Obama said it in his inauguration speech in January 2009. My third book is basically a continuation of the first two books with new information, including Oklahoma City bombing, proving it was a Saddam Hussein bombing. But it also deals with the Islamic agenda after 9/11 to destroy it, to continue to destroy America and to Islamicize it, but, you know, make it stop being Christian. My fourth book, Israel's Bible Block, deals with the party that I'm creating to run for the Knesset. My fifth book is a study on the book of Genesis, and it's called Islam Prophesied in Genesis, and it explains why Allah is Satan, Lucifer the devil, and why Islam is not a religion, but a criminal psychosis worse than Nazism. Because Nazism wanted to kill only the Jews. Islam wants to kill everybody, including the Muslims. My sixth book is Return to Mecca, which is a study on the book of Exodus, and it explains why Saudi Arabia is part of the land of Israel and why Mount Sinai is part of Israel. Jim and Penny Caldwell speak about this in their teachings about Mount Sinai being in Northwest Arabia. And then, of course, my seventh book is about the war in the Middle East today.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that recap. Mr. Lipkin, we're going to let you go so you can get some rest. Thank you so much for your gift of time. Thank you again so much for being the person that you are, for being having the courage and the integrity to go out there and to set people right on what's really happening, what's really taking place out there. And we wish you all of the success in the world with the establishment of your party in Israel. And we hope to talk to you again, perhaps after the election. What's your gut telling you? Just before we cut you loose, I got to ask you, what's your gut telling you about this election? Do you think that we're going to see a Trump victory, or do you think we're going to see a Hillary victory? I don't want to hold your feet to the fire at all. I'm just kind of curious as to what your, you know, what your gut is telling you on this.
Well, obviously, I'm not a prophet. Obviously, I support Trump. I will say one thing, though, that here in Israel, as I said before, the media is controlled by the socialists. It's a hangover, a holdover from the socialist leadership of Israel since 1922. And I would say it's funny, but it's really sad. Every time we have elections in Israel, the media says that the left is going to win, and in the end, Bibi wins, and Netanyahu. And never Bibi. Bibi's never going to form the government, and every election in the last 20 years, almost 20 years, the Likud and Bibi formed the government. I think that in the United States today, American politics is like a pendulum. And it swings right, it swings left. It swings right, it swings left. So you have Republicans 8 years, then you have Democrats 8 years. Then you have Republicans 8 years, and then you have Democrats 8 years. I think the cycle of the Democrats is now winding down. I mean, that's what logic would say to me. Right. But it could be inherently you have a very corrupt, illogical system rigging the elections. And I could understand why Trump said what he said. I could understand why people are saying that there could be civil war, God forbid, in the United States, because there's a lot of hanky-panky, and it's not representing the democracy of America that we all know and love. I am praying to God that Trump wins for the good of America and for the good of Israel. I cannot see good things coming out of a Hillary victory, but it could be. You know, Hillary might be elected president, and then have one of her temper tantrums and nuke Russia or nuke the Arabs or nuke somebody. and force all the Jews to go home to Israel. Maybe Hillary is part of God's redemptive plan to bring the Jews home. I don't know. We'll see.
Avi Lipkin, thank you so very much, my friend. God bless you, and may God keep you safe, and give my best to your wife and your family for us. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. God bless you, and God save America.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Lipkin. You have a great night, and God bless you as well. Thanks for your time.
And you know what, folks? We need to be praying for Mr. Lipkin, his family. We need to be praying for Israel, the people of Israel, too. I really believe
Absolutely.
That, you know. There's so much negativity about Israel. And I was thinking today, Joe, about how people equate, you know, Jews with all the head of the banking industry and their media. It's just the anti-Semitism that we're seeing here in this country and worldwide is just ramping up beyond anything.
And I guess some of it's understandable. The Bible does explain some of the reasons behind it. One of the major explanations is that you have people who call themselves Jews.
But are not. I mean, well.
And pretend to appear to be Jews, but are absolutely not.
That's what Ted Rohrer talks about, too.
Right. They're the complete opposite. And call it whatever you will, you know, this global satanic elite mafia that does run the banking industries, that does run Hollywood, that does run, you know, these foreign governments and all the corruption. Just because they call themselves Jewish does not make it so. But you have people who are intellectually, unable or unwilling to look into the truth of the matter. And do the research for themselves, from reading the Bible to reading about, you know, the truth behind the powers that are pulling the strings in this world.
That's right.
And when that happens and it breeds ignorance, you'll have people,
ignorance.
You know,
yes.
Just sticking to stereotypes that are created out of ignorance and using those as scapegoats, trying to use those to blame people. But when this world's all said and done and everything's all said and done in this world, and we are on the other side, I think the Lord will show us how wrong so many of us were in our ways of thinking and why we were wrong.
I believe that, too. I think a lot of us are going to be surprised.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yep.
Hey, on the other side, I just want to let people know, on the other side, we're going to be talking about Mr. Fix-It. Remember this, folks? Remember this? Let me hold this up here. Remember this? Mr. Fix-It. I'm holding up, for those people video challenge, I'm holding up a copy of the National Enquirer.
That's doctored. That's edited.
Okay, wait a second. This is in the
That's not the real paper.
What do you mean it's not the real paper? That,
you know, they edit the James O'Keefe tapes and they have edited the emails. That's a spoof paper.
See, the reason I bring this up is because on Hannity tonight, Mr. Fix-It is going to be on Hannity at 10 o'clock tonight. So,
No, Debbie Brazil, or whoever was the head of the DNC, was asked by Megyn Kelly about them starting violence in the different Trump rallies with the evidence right in her face, and she kept saying, "Oh no, that's, you know, that's a criminal doctoring evidence."
You know what I want to do with Deborah Brazil? I want to go.
Well, she's done that to herself pretty good, folks. We'll be right back with our final hour on this Monday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report right after this. Stay with us.